heaviness. Amen. Put on the garment of praise. You're feeling heavy? Sing praise. Thank God for what you have. Thank Him that you're saved. Thank Him that you're on your way to heaven. Thank Him you woke up this morning in your right mind. You didn't woke up with a hangover. Didn't wake up with a hangover. Woke up, wake up with a hangover, messed up. Amen. Not knowing what you did the night before, but you know what you're doing now. Amen. You're in your right mind. Praise the Lord. So if you're heavy tonight, praise the Lord. Amen. Break through the heaviness and say, thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. If you ain't got anything else to say thank you for, just say, thank you, I'm saved. My name is written in heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm washed in the blood, and I'm going to be with Jesus one day. That's enough to be thanking Him for right there. You better not ever forget where He brought you from. Better not ever forget the bondage that you were in, the sin and the misery and the shame and the wickedness. I wasn't ever there. Well, it's all right. You'll head there. Praise the Lord. He's brought us out. Amen. He pulled us out of Pharaoh's power, snatched us out from under Him. Amen. And saved us. Good to see everybody tonight. Amen. Good. Got a good little crowd here for Wednesday night. Weather warming up and changing. Maybe more people start coming out now. Come out the caves. But it's good to see everybody. We're going to take up the offering tonight. And thank you for those that are helping us. I like what Lucas said when he opened. That was really good. So, you know, we only need about a quarter of that to do what we need to do. And I think the Lord's got the money somewhere, somehow. And somebody out there might have a big chunk of it. Don't even know what to do with it. And the Lord move on them and tell them to help. You give that money to that church. You give that money to that preacher. Give that money. And you just do it. Sometimes the Lord can move on people and they don't even know why they're doing things. I've seen God move on people that don't even know Him and touch them to do something, and they do it and don't even understand why. But God is God, my friend, and He can do whatever He wants. Now, He don't manipulate, make anybody, but He knows how to help push people to do things. He does it every day in this world. All the time He does it. Amen. So we just need to believe God for people to give, and for people to continue to help, and for those that may have a big gift, give it. Give it to help to do what the Lord has called us to do, because big things are coming. Yeah, big things are coming. They are. Now, despite what the devil thinks, big things are coming. I'm going to be here to see it. You're going to be here to see it. Amen. We're going to walk by faith, and we're going to see what God. The Lord said, my servant Moses is dead to Joshua, but I'm not dead. You go forward. Moses is dead, but you go forward. Amen. There's much land to be possessed. And, you know, sometimes we have to forget about what's behind us and go on forward. Let the dead bury the dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God. You do the things that God has called you to do, and the Lord will provide everything that you need. So let's pray and take up the offering. And let's ask the Lord to have His way in this church tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You tonight for Your Spirit, for Your power. Lord, we ask, God, that You would help us tonight, Lord, to lift up the name of Jesus, Lord, to worship You, to serve You. No matter what's going on in our life, I pray for people that are watching tonight that may be hindered, that may be weighed down, that may be having problems, Lord, that You go to them, that You touch them, that You speak to them. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling, that are not going forward like they should, that You would nudge them tonight, that You would push them to do the things that You're calling them to do, Lord. Help us to be obedient to You in every area of our life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Karen, grab your microphone. Come here for a minute. Help me out here for a minute. Well, there's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me Your love, Lord, and a fine family. So I thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me.
Verse 1.
While the world looks upon me as I struggle along,
They say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. 'Cause in my heart I'm rejoicing, and I want you to see. I say thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Sing it.
There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your blessings.
Sing the next verse,
on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I
don't have much money. But I got Jesus.
But Lord,
Come on, somebody, to me,
that's all that matters.
The world don't understand
the world may not
Our joy don't come from money and stuff. It comes from Jesus.
For your blessings on me.
Well, there's a roof up above me.
I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. So I'll thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Well, there's a roof up above me.
I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. So I'll thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. So I'll thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sister. Praise the Lord. We need to give the devil a black eye. Let him know who we serve. Amen. Whether money comes or whether money goes, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Whether we have the stuff we like to have or not, we're going to serve God. Praise the Lord. We're going back to the book of Romans tonight, chapter 4. Studying justification by faith. Romans chapter 4, while you're going there, let me click this real quick. All right. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law works wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of of us all. Let's ask God to bless the word tonight. Lord, we ask you to have your way tonight. Reveal your word to us, to our spirit man, that touch us, move in us, move through us. Those tonight through the internet, Lord, watching, I pray that you would make your word alive to them, make it real to them, Lord. We just thank you today for everything you've done in our lives. We thank you again that we're saved. We thank you that we're on our way to heaven. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin. And Lord, I pray again for anybody watching tonight through that camera that is down in the dumps, that you would pick them up, Lord, that you would touch them, that you would raise them up, that you would speak to them, give them a word, Lord, that would bless them and encourage them. If there's those watching that are lost without you, save them. Convict them that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we give you the praise for it. Amen and amen. Last week we started in Romans chapter 4 on the subject of justification by faith and using Abraham as the example from the Old Testament. And the point I think we tried to make last week was that according to the scripture, that the scripture proves that Abraham was saved before God gave him the covenant of circumcision. In other words, he had already accepted the Lord into his life before God gave him this covenant that would be carried out down through, for centuries on, in the sign of circumcision, which the Bible teaches really, that's all it was. It was a sign. It was not salvation, just as the comparison here is between the law and grace, too. Just as salvation, law has nothing to do with salvation. Law had nothing to do with circumcision at that time. It was not, let me say it this way, circumcision was not salvation. It was only symbolic of salvation. Now, under the New Testament, we're told some things about circumcision that it's a really, God looks at it although it was an Old Testament act that was carried out, in the New Testament, it's pictured spiritually or symbolically of the new man that comes when you accept Jesus Christ. The old man dies and a new man comes to life. That's what that circumcision represents. I'm going to read you some verses just to kind of back up what I'm trying to say. In Galatians 5 and 6, Paul said, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love." And the key here is, the point is that people, if you're not careful, they begin to put too much emphasis upon things that don't matter in the spiritual, that or that have no physical benefits whatsoever. We, like Lucas says something, you know, about the natural and the spiritual. If you just see things in the natural, you miss the spiritual. If you just look at, you know, the act of circumcision and all the things they did for the, you know, the health benefits of the child or whatnot, and all, for all the baby boys, that's all good. But it had absolutely nothing to do with that child's spiritual well-being. It didn't change that child. And today, you could say it like this: water baptism does not change a person's heart. It doesn't matter how, outwards don't matter. You can go through all the outwards. You can be circumcised. You can be water baptized. You can join the church. You can be a Baptist. You can be this. But it has no effect whatsoever on your heart. It doesn't change you a bit. The law and the circumcision was given, of course, he said, circumcision was given even before the law, but it was carried out after the law was given too, but it never could save anybody. It never could change anybody. So the point is that the law cannot save. Everything under the law, under the Old Testament, all the rules, the rituals, the rites, ceremonies, all that stuff was symbolic for its time, but today we don't pay any attention to it. What? I don't celebrate Lent. I don't celebrate Palm Sunday. I don't celebrate these feasts that all these Jews celebrated back then. I don't even celebrate Pentecost. Yes, I do. I celebrate it every day. Every day is Pentecost. Every day is the power of God, not one time a year. I don't pay any attention to that stuff. Why? Because it's all been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Its meaning has been fulfilled. So if you're not careful, you start putting too much emphasis on things. And you're taken away from what God is really trying to show you. All that stuff means nothing today. It means nothing. Jesus Christ is what means everything. What he did at the cross is what means everything. So we're not Jews. We don't obey ceremonial rituals. We don't keep feast days. We don't keep fast days. We don't do what God commanded the Jews to do back then. God doesn't even require them to do it now. Because they got a new covenant. They don't accept it. But if they did, then they'll let go of the old. Let's say when you get born again and you let Jesus come in, you let go of the old. When you come to the revelation and the knowledge of the message of the cross, you know what some of the things that start happening? You start seeing your error. You start seeing your law keeping. You start seeing that your faith was in the wrong stuff. And you start letting go of it. So you can come closer to the Lord. In Christ Jesus, circumcision nor availeth, it doesn't avail anything, nor uncircumcision, but it's faith which works by love. In Galatians 6:15 and 16, he said this, Paul said, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. A new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. You see, if you're going to embrace the new, you got to let go of the old. So if you're going to embrace the new, you got to let go of the old. People today are chasing everything under the sun. People are chasing signs, wonders, miracles. You know, there was people like Michaela said Sunday thinking that this eclipse, you know, Jesus is coming. All this stuff that the Bible plainly contradicts. When the Bible tells us we don't know when the Lord's, no man knows that. And yeah, there are signs, but you know the greatest sign of all really is Israel. Look at them. They're the time clock. And look at apostasy. Look at deception. Look at the last days we're living in, how men's hearts are getting harder and harder. You want a sign? There it is. Evil shall abound more and more. Men's hearts will wax colder and colder and colder. Evil will abound more. There's your signs. And people are chasing signs, wonders, and miracles when the Lord says, you don't need a sign. I posted on the internet the other day where Jesus in Matthew 12, the Pharisees and the religious leaders says, give us a sign that you're the Son of God. Show us. We want to see a sign that you are who you say you are. Well, he was working every kind of miracle that could be imagined right in front of their face. But they didn't want him. And people in church today, you can be sitting there watching through a camera, sitting on a church pew, and be just like them old religious, hard-hearted leaders. Don't want a move of God. Called away with signs and just explore. Really, you know what they were doing? They were ignoring the signs he was already giving them. They were flat out ignoring them. How do you know that? Because they wouldn't have been saying, show us another one. Show us more. Where's the sign? Show us signs that you are who you say you are. He said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. He said, and there shall be no sign given but the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. You know what he was talking about? Death and resurrection. You see, Jesus wants to talk to some people tonight about death and resurrection. There's your sign. You want your life changed? Death and resurrection. You want to stop chasing everything under the sun? Death and resurrection. You don't need a sign. You don't need a miracle. God can work a miracle for somebody and somebody sit right there and watch it that's not even saved, and it won't convince them to become a Christian. Because the heart's got to be changed. You got to accept Jesus for your heart to be changed. So you don't need a sign, you need faith. Faith in the Son of God. And see, when you get a hold of this, and you start, listen, learning that this is all about Jesus, it's all about what He came to do, you start, everything else starts falling by the wayside. You quit chasing everything else. You know, you won't be going through the Bible looking for some hidden code, trying to find out some mystery about this or mystery about that. It's not there. You stop that foolishness. You quit listening to people on TV that are taking you down rabbit trails, causing you to believe everything under the sun, most of it not even right, not scriptural. He said, I'll give you a sign, my death and resurrection. Just like Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of that whale, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going into the heart of the earth, and I'm going to accomplish some things, and I'm coming back, and I'm going to rise up from the dead. And I'm going to send back to my Father where the work's going to be finished. And whosoever will come and believe in Him, their life gets changed. Man, if we were more focused on Him changing our heart and letting Him clean us up than we were chasing after signs, wonders, and miracles, how much healthier would the church be? And today we got many Christians they're stuck in legalism, stuck in Judaism. I don't know why so many Christians want to be a Jew. You're not a Jew. If you weren't born in Israel, you're not a Jew. You're a Gentile. You're a dog, lost heathen on your way to hell. But the good news is God's made a way for a Jew and Gentile, whether you live on the other side of the world or the backwoods of the countryside hills of Tennessee, you can come to know Jesus as your Savior and your life can be changed without any law. Paul said in Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision. We are the circumcision. We're a new creation. We're a work of the Spirit. We are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Where's your confidence tonight? What's your confidence in? What is your faith in? What is your hope in? Colossians 2:10-11 says, and you are complete in Him, that's Jesus, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised, listen, with the circumcision made without hands. This is the supernatural. Made without hands, the spiritual that comes down from on high. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you by faith repent of your sins and call on Him as your Lord and Savior, at the very moment you do, according to the Word of God, you are baptized into Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God comes into your heart, regenerates you, changes your life by faith. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. No man had a hand in it, praise God, but God Almighty did every bit of it, and He did it because of the work of His Son that was finished on the cross, and because He gave His life for us, praise God, we can live today and we can be lively stones. We're the circumcision made without hands. What God has done in Thomas and Melissa Clymer, no man will ever be able to stand back and say, well, it's because of us. It'll never happen. I was just thinking about that today. At how God allowed us and our testimony, how we got saved and nobody involved. God has His purposes for things and He has His reasons. But my mother was involved somewhat. You've heard me tell that. But my mother never one time ever said, well, you're only saved because I prayed for you. I never heard that from my mother. My mother never mentioned anything like that. She acknowledged what happened. She didn't know what was happening at the time it was happening. Neither one of us understood exactly what was taking place. But God divinely interrupted my life and used her. But the way he saved us was miraculous. And that no man could ever stand back and say, well, they're where they are because of us. Because of our church, our family, our denomination. It's never going to happen. We're the work of the Spirit. Praise God. I'm glad tonight I'm a work of the Spirit. I ain't a work of no man's hands. Because man can only do so much for you, but he can't change you. He can't sanctify you. Best we can do is guide you in the right direction. And I'm glad that I've been associated with a ministry for 25 years that has helped guide me in the right direction where I can, they don't get in my way, they don't bother us, but they get back and let the Holy Ghost have his way and work in people's lives. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's what we want for you here. I don't want you running to me with every one of your problems. I don't want you coming to me every time you got an issue. I want you to learn how to work things out with you and the Lord, so when something breaks through in your life and God does something, you can say, man, look what the Lord did. Look what the Spirit of God did. See, that's the way pastors ought to be. We get out of the way and we preach and teach the word, but we get out of the way and let the Holy Ghost work in your life so you can be free to let him do whatever he wants to do in your life. You don't have to get advice from me or advice from anybody else. You just go to the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with getting advice, nothing wrong with asking for prayer, nothing wrong with trying to find, asking questions about the Bible. We welcome that, but we want people to depend more on the Lord than us. That's what makes a healthy church. Might be small, but we're healthy. He said we have no confidence in the flesh. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh, but he said you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. He said, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. All those old sins, that old sin nature has been crucified, put to death by the power of God because of the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. And now the Spirit of God is able to do what he wants to do in our heart, in our life, because we put our trust in him, Jesus. Colossians 3:10-11 says, having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You see, God doesn't have any favorites down here, Jew, Gentile, bond, free, male, female. We're all treated equal. We put our faith in Jesus Christ and we trust in what he's done for us. And God says, I work in you. God says, you're my child. And he says, I don't look at you any different than I do the Jew on the other side of the ocean. I don't look at you any different than I do anybody anywhere else. If you're my child, I treat you all the same. You put your faith in my son. My spirit works in you. I change you. I save you. I deliver you. I heal you. I set you free. I work in you. Romans 2:28-29 says, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. You see, that going to church don't make you saved. He's not a Jew which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. See, outward means nothing. You can look good outside, but what's on the inside? If you're not a new creation inside, it doesn't matter how good you look outside. You can dress the old man up, but if the inside ain't cleaned up by the blood, God says you're dirty, says you're unclean. You need to get washed in the blood. He is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. See, it takes place in the heart. It's a spiritual thing in the spirit. and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Talking about circumcision, this circumcision represents under the new covenant. One more verse, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, 18, 19, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. So if there were those that were outside the covenant or had not been circumcised in the literal act in the flesh, listen, he's saying you don't have, that has nothing to do with your salvation. That act, that rite that is carried out, it has health benefits or whatever, but it has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. It was for a time. It was symbolic of the covenant. Remember, a cutting away of the old and a bringing in the new. It takes blood. It took the cutting of the flesh and blood was shed. Just as Jesus in his flesh was put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit for us. He said circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. I'm going to go a little bit further. I'm going to step on some toes. Water baptism is nothing. Being water baptized is nothing, or not being baptized is nothing. Do you believe in water baptism? Yeah. But it doesn't save you. The act of being baptized in water doesn't save you. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God who works through faith in Jesus Christ. And uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Following God's word is what means everything. Following God's way, God's commandments, that's his word. It's not just 10. You follow his system. You follow his way for salvation. So when we go back to Romans chapter 4, verse 13, Paul said, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. It wasn't through the law. He said, but through the righteousness of faith. See, you either live under one or the other. You either live under law or you live by faith. It's one or the other. Either your faith is in who you are and what you do, or your faith is in Jesus Christ and what he's done. It's either law or faith. It can't be both. And the point that he's making here is that justification, salvation, is not by law, it's by faith. See, the problem is that when the new covenant came, the problem was that the Old Testament, it had been kept, you know, the Ten Commandments and all this stuff had been repeated and kept for so long until this new covenant comes in and it starts to be preached and then they started to be, you know, they started to be told, look, we don't live by law anymore. We don't live by trying to keep commandments. And you see, when people are so used to doing something for so long, they don't want to let go of it. Well, that's the way I've always done it. Okay, what if the Bible says it's changed? It's changed. It has changed. That's not the way we do it today. There's been a change. Jesus made a change. The cross made a change because it was the fulfillment of everything the law represented. And not only that, you and I can't keep the law. You can't keep the law perfectly. You break a law probably every day, whether in the natural or the spiritual. Lawbreakers. Sin. Transgression. Any of it is a breaking of the law. It's a breaking of God's word. Any of it. So if you put your faith in the fact that you're good or you keep law or you do this or you do that, you're breaking it. You're missing it. If you break one law, it says if you've broken all of them. No man can keep the law. And so when Paul and others began to preach this, people had a problem with him. You're telling us we don't live under law anymore. That ain't what we're saying. The law is still there. Morality is still here. It's still there. God requires you not to kill anybody. Thou shalt not kill. Stealing is still wrong. All everything the law said don't do, you still, you don't do it. But there's a whole lot more to it than that. But that moral law can't change you. Those Ten Commandments can't fix you. He said in verse 14, if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. So if you're an heir of the righteousness of Jesus Christ by law, then faith is made void. Where's faith at? It's faith or law. It's faith or works. He said, and the promise made of none effect. And that's what happens. If we put our faith in anything but Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. Listen, the promises of God are made of none effect. You are fallen from grace. You who seek to be justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. You're not experiencing grace. Galatians chapter 3, 1 through 9. I'm going to read it because this backs it up really good. Paul said this, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Here's a question. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you receive the Spirit of God that came into your heart, into your life, and made a brand new creation out of you, put away your sins, washed you, turned you around, changed your life, give you a desire to go to church, give you a desire to read the Bible, give you a desire to serve the Lord? Did you receive that by what you did? Or what you heard. What you heard. What you heard was that you were a sinner. What you heard that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins and you repented. You called on the name of the Lord. You asked God to forgive you, to cleanse you, to wash you, however it was you asking. And the very moment you did, guess what? The Holy Spirit hit your heart, came in, regenerated you, changed you, turned your life right side up. And now you're living right, talking right, walking right, serving the Lord, and every bit of it happened because of faith. Nothing you did. Nothing. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Listen to the next question. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? We've all been there. We all did it. But thank God we don't have to now. I was there and you were there. You were foolish at one time after you were saved, walking in the flesh, thinking you're walking in the Spirit because of what you did. How much you read the Bible, how much you prayed, or how much you did whatever, how good you know you were, the things you were doing for other people and witnessing, handing out stuff, you know, and doing good things for people and holding the door open for that little old lady at the grocery store, and you just pat yourself on, boy, I'm really good. God, you see how good I am? Let me tell you something. When your heart is right with the Lord, and you're doing things for the right reason, you don't pat yourself on the back for anything you do for anybody. You just do it and it goes unnoticed, but God sees all of it. And you don't have to go around telling everybody about it. Because the Lord sees it. And he knows why we do what we do. That's the only thing that counts, is why do we do what we do? To be seen of God, to be seen of people. He said, are you so foolish, haven't begun in the spirit? Are you now made perfect by your flesh? You were saved by faith. What makes you think you can perfect yourself and now change yourself by works? Keeping laws. Feast days, fast days, not eating pork. Thinking you're holy because you don't do certain things. Are you now made perfect by the flesh? And then when he wrote this, he was dealing with Judaizers who was putting all the emphasis upon circumcision. That very act of circumcision. It's okay that you've accepted Jesus, but you must keep the law. And the law demands that every one of your children be circumcised or else. And what they were doing was they were heaping these laws that had been fulfilled in Christ upon these people and putting them under condemnation. And not teaching them how to live a victorious life, but teaching them how to fail. That's what law does. Law takes you away from grace. Grace brings you in closer to the Lord. Law takes you away. Are you now made perfect by the flesh? These are questions. He says this to make them think. And then the next question he said was verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? You know, you see, not only did you get saved and set free and set on fire for the Lord, but you also started suffering a little bit as a Christian. Suffering attacks of the devil. Suffering from false brethren. Suffering from some of them family members that don't want your God. Suffering from the government. Suffering. Well, why did you experience that suffering? It was because of the offense of the cross. You accepted and you embraced the message. And praise God, everybody didn't jump on your bandwagon. Some people don't even want to be around you. Some of your own family despise you. They think you've lost your mind. You just won't go along with everything like everybody else. You suffered. Why? Because you accepted Jesus by faith. And you started living for him without any type of law whatsoever. Next question, he says, verse 5, he therefore who ministers the Spirit to you, see, you're going to need the Holy Spirit working in your life. Now, is he working? He who ministers the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. You know what? He works miracles too. He still wants to work miracles. He wants to minister the Spirit to us and he wants to work miracles in us. He wants to work miracles through us. He wants to work miracles for us. He said, God does all of this stuff. The one who does this, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I mean, all these questions he just asked, he asked to make them and us here tonight think about what our faith is in. Because if our faith is in anything except what Jesus has done, we lose these benefits. No miracles get worked. No spirit moving and working in our life. We come to church and we're dead and we leave dead. No sanctifying power. No Holy Ghost boldness. The miracles, the change, hindered if we put our faith in anything else. He said, even as Abraham believed God, there it is. Here's our example. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. There it is. We believe God. We believe God's word. We believe God's way, which is his son, what he did at Calvary. And God says, it's accounted unto you for righteousness. He's my righteousness. You put your faith in him, you take his righteousness. It's not your righteousness, it's his. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. You're a child of Abraham tonight by faith. Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. What do you mean? The religious leaders said, well, he's lost his mind. Is he crazy? Abraham was here hundreds of years before. How in the world? He ain't seen Abraham. And he said, no, let me tell you something. Before Abraham was, I am. Amen. I said before Abraham was, he said, I am. The I am was there in the beginning. The I am said, let there be light. The I am said, let the waters cover the earth. The I am said, let us make man in our image. And they thought he was lost his mind. They didn't understand because they didn't want him. And today you got same type of people. They don't understand because they don't want Jesus. They don't want change. They're perfectly comfortable with their legalism and the law keeping and their self-righteousness and their own morality, which is nasty as a filthy rag. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and you shall all the nations be blessed. We're blessed today because of Abraham. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. You see, Abraham is our example here in chapter 4 of justification by faith because he had faith to believe God without any work of the law. He was justified by God before the law was ever given. And in a sense, you know, today, we all were justified, cleansed, made whole, lives changed before we ever started living a clean life without any law. And when the Spirit of God came in, now your life changes and you start living different. When the Spirit of God comes in and you start studying the Bible, and you start reading about God's way, and the Holy Spirit starts lining you up with the Word and forming you and changing you, it's not being done by law. It's being done by the Spirit because of your simple faith in Jesus Christ. Back to Romans chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 15 that the law works wrath, because the law works wrath. See, law, that's all law brings is wrath. Law agitates the flesh. Law agitates the sin nature. If you got a problem with the sin nature, it's bad enough when you got a problem with the sin nature, but it's even worse when you got law added to it and you're trying to live by law, because all it does is makes it worse and worse. Can't stop cussing. Can't stop yelling at people. Can't stop talking. Can't stop. Law agitates the flesh, and all it does is makes it worse. The law works wrath, for where no law is, there's no transgression. In other words, where the blood is applied, there is no transgression. Look, where Jesus lives, we don't live in sin. So therefore, listen, we don't need to live by law. I don't live by law. In other words, I don't put my trust in what I do or what I don't do. Yes, we obey the laws. We follow the laws, but we don't put our trust in the law, because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us and the Spirit of God lives in us. He guides us. He teaches us. He shows us. He's trying to open God's word to us that we don't live by law. We live by faith in the one who fulfilled every bit of the law. So I don't get up in the morning and go out about my day. I'm going to make sure I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't go here. I don't live like that. I'm going to be good today. Don't say that. I'm not going to do this today. Don't say that. Just start saying, Jesus, by your help and by your mercy and by your grace, help me today to live the life pleasing unto you, not by any law, but by faith. We're not saying that there's no law, period. It is. But we don't live by law. We live by faith. We don't live by what we do. We don't live by what we eat, what we don't eat, where we go, where we don't go. We don't live like that. We live by faith in Jesus Christ. And because we do, the Spirit of God moves in us. And then if there's places that the Lord don't want us going, I promise you, if you start taking a step in a direction you shouldn't be going, the Holy Ghost is going to tap you and touch you and say, listen, I don't want you going there. And it won't be because it's a law. It'll be because it's His conviction in your heart. And God's people need some conviction, that's for sure. In verse 16, he said, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. So our salvation is by faith and grace. Not law, faith and grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. There's that example again, Abraham. In chapter 4 and 5, he's held up as the example of justification by faith without any law whatsoever. You know, when you start preaching this and teaching this, people start taking you wrong. They start saying, well, you're saying we don't have to live by any kind of law whatsoever. We just do whatever we want to do. No, I'm not. I'm telling you that when your faith is in Jesus Christ alone and what He did at the cross, the Holy Ghost will put some reins on you. He'll tighten down on your insides, and He'll do more in you than any law could ever imagine. Verse 17, he said, as it is written, I've made you a father of many nations, speaking of Abraham, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Now, this can be taken out of context and has for many years, because this is not saying that you and I as a Christian can just speak anything we want into existence because Abraham did it. This is not what this is saying at all. It's really not even referring to that. It's referring to what God said about Abraham. It refers to what God said God would do, not what Abraham could do, what God could do. God was the one who could call those things that be not as though they were. And listen, if God has given you a promise, He's told you something, then you should stand on it, call it as God calls it. But the example here really has nothing to do with that. It's to prove how powerful God is, the one whom Abraham believed in, who had the power to do what he said he would do. He told Abraham, you know, later on, I'm going to give you a son. Abraham says, what are you talking about? I'm too old. She's too old. We're past the age of bearing children. But God says, I call those things that be not as though they were. Abraham, I said it. It's going to happen. I say, a building is coming up back there. It's going to happen. Because there's souls at stake. There's people to hear the gospel. There's more children of Abraham to come into the kingdom. More than just us. It's God who quickens the dead. It's God who saves the sinner, puts light in their soul, who quickens the dead, and calls those things that be not as though they were. But Abraham had to believe God. And Abraham had to go totally contrary to the ways of his carnal-minded thinking. He had to step out by faith and take God at His word. The next verse says so. Who against hope, he believed in hope. That's Abraham. God don't have to have hope. He is hope. This is Abraham now. Who against hope, he believed in hope. Is that us tonight? Is your hope down tonight? Is it been pulled down a little bit? You having problems with this or that? Well, just remember this. Abraham had the same problems, but he believed God, and God turned things around for him and made him a great example. And he can do the same for you. He can do the same in you. who against hope he believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. The father of many nations. He's the father of many nations all over the world. Nations of the world where people have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and by faith they accepted him. Abraham, it can be traced all the way back to the instigator, Abraham, who had faith. And it's no different today. We have faith in Jesus Christ. It said, Abraham being not weak in faith. He wasn't weak in faith. He was hit at times. He was knocked down. He went down to Egypt when he shouldn't have went. Took his wife, and Satan almost took advantage of that to try to destroy him. But God delivered them out of that and threatened old Pharaoh and told him he better take his hands off, turn that woman loose and let her go, or he's going to be a dead man. I tell you, God got ways of rebuking people. God's got ways of pulling you out of a pit. He's got, when you go in the wrong direction, he's got a way of rebuking the world, the system you're in. He can use the world you're in to rebuke you. And he delivered them and brought them out because his faith was weak at the time. A famine hit. He didn't know what to do. He thought, I'm going to have to provide for my family and us somehow. So this is what we'll do. And God said, no, I want you to stay where you are and I want you to trust me. I don't want you to run to Egypt. I don't want you to leave church. I want you to stay right there in the midst of that famine. And you believe me and you trust me and you let me work in your life and you watch what I'll do with you and your family. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. In the natural, he understood there's no way I can have children. But in the supernatural, he knows that God has told him, you're going to have a child. Now, imagine the conflict. You're 50, 60, 70 years past childbearing age. You and your wife, and God has said, you're going to have your own child. It's not going to be by a handmaiden. You're going to have your own. I'm going to give you a child. And he still believed God, even though he couldn't understand it. And what happened in the end? Isaac was born. Of course, after the work of the flesh had taken place, Ishmael, you know, because they got tired of waiting for that promise and they thought that somehow that maybe they just need to help God figure out how to work this out and make it come to pass. And they'd go get their, you know, the little Egyptian handmaiden, Hagar, and bring her in and, you know, birth that child and we'll call that our child. And that was the way they did things back then if the woman couldn't have a child. And it would be legally the one who was adopting the baby, if you want to use that terminology, that would be become their child. So they thought they would just help God bring to pass what he told them he was going to do for them. And all it was a work of the flesh. And the only thing it brought about was heartache, sorrow, and trouble, persecution. It was a work of the flesh. Listen, if you put your faith in anything but Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary, it's a work of the flesh. And the product will be sin, sorrow, misery, and bondage. And the Lord will tell you the same thing he had to tell Abraham one day. He said, Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and get rid of her son. He's not an heir. He's not an heir with Isaac. He's not my plan. Get rid of him. And the Lord's telling the church today, get rid of your flesh. Get rid of your law. Get rid of your Judaism. Get rid of your law keeping. Get rid of your own morality. Get rid of your baptismal formulas. Get rid of your don't eat pork. Get rid of your don't do this. And get rid of all that. And put your faith in Jesus Christ. And let the Holy Spirit work in your life. Put the other away. Because you can't have both. You can't keep Hagar and Ishmael around with faith. they got to go. It's faith alone in Jesus Christ and what he did, or it's nothing at all. Abraham had to believe that. So today, you know what? God's given us promises. We have to take God at his word. We have to believe God. The Lord told me 25, 24 years ago when he saved us, he told me, he said, I'm going to use you to bring thousands of souls into my kingdom. He told me that. God told me that through somebody. I know God told me that. I cried, I shouted, I wept, and the Spirit of God ran all over me. And I'm thinking, Lord, how's it going to happen? I didn't pastor a church. We didn't do anything. We just went to church here and there, and we found a good church. God said, I'm going to use you to bring thousands of souls into my kingdom. And I'm thinking, how? And you know what I did? I knew it was the Lord, and I got focused on it. And that was my problem. I got so focused on it, I was trying to figure out how I was going to help God bring it to pass. And I got in the flesh and did things my way here and there, tried it. Sincere. With a sincere heart, really wanting to see people saved. But you see, you could have a sincere heart, really wanting to do things for the Lord, but if you are not guided by the Spirit, if you don't listen to that still small voice, you'll do things with a sincere heart. And look, God don't smack you around when you do that, say, well, you stupid little thing, you shouldn't know. He don't do that. He's gentle with us. He understands if your motive right and your heart's right and you want to do something, but you may be going back the wrong way and it might not be by the Spirit, God ain't sitting up in heaven, pow, pow, you shouldn't do that. He ain't like people. No, he teaches us. We learn through the things that we do. You learn what not to do by doing the wrong thing. That's how it happens sometimes. Experience. But I've never forgotten that. It's with me to this day. Thousands of souls. It hasn't come to pass yet. But it's happening. It's going to happen. I believe that the atmosphere is just right. God is letting the fruit of this earth is about to come forth in these last days. There are some souls going to come into the kingdom of heaven. How and where, I don't know. I just know that I'm going to do what the Lord said to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it starts right here in Athens, Tennessee. And we're going to go everywhere the Lord tells us to go. And we're going to see those souls come to Jesus. I believe it's going to happen more through those cameras, more when that building is built back there, more as the things of God increase, it's going to happen. Maybe a time comes we go on television. I don't know. However God wants to do it, we're going to do it. Because he's made us a promise, and I've never let go of that promise. That's why I'm still here today. There's a promise. Souls. I said it Sunday, and I'll say it again. If I can't do that, if I can't get people to Jesus, get me out of here. Bye. Take me on home, Lord. Forget this church. Forget these people. Take me home. Because it ain't about me and you and three and four more. It's about others, church. It's about others out there. We want other people in this town coming to this church. We want to see our building full when we build it. We want to see new faces, new singers, new musicians. Come on, new board members, new deacons, new whatever. Because God wants to increase us. And we got a good solid foundation here for God to do what he wants to do. We got a good group of people in our church. We have had for a while. And God's building up on it. There's some even that ain't here that he's about to bring back. Better get ready. Better make sure your heart's right. There's some that's never been here that are coming here. There's some that ain't going to fit what you think a Christian ought to look like. And when they come, don't sit and roll your eyes. Praise the Lord. Clap your hands. Say, thank you, Jesus. Send some more of them up in here, Lord. More people through the internet that don't know the truth, that are not saved. Send them, Lord. Let them be sitting there with that phone in their hand, scanning across, looking for one thing, and let this service come on and let the power of God hit them between the eyes. Give us some of those miracles like you gave Brother Swagger back in the 80s when he's preaching on television and he don't know who's watching. Give us some of those miracles, Lord, where they're in motel rooms with a needle jammed in their vein about to die and they hear the gospel. Give us some, Lord. He can do it. Do you want it? You can't be content with just us then. You got to say, Lord, increase us. Grow us. Bring back those that need to be here. Bring those that need to be here. Bring them from the north. Bring them from the south. Bring them from the east. Bring them from the west. Let revival hit this place, God. Let the power of God move from this church all around this town. Let it move down at that business. Let it move on your job. Let it move at the discount store. Let the power of God move. And get it outside of our little box. We got to have the faith of Abraham. We're going to have to believe God, who against hope believed in hope. He considered as not his own body now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I want some strong people in faith. Let the baby stay home. Give me some strong people in faith. Let the murmurers and the whiners and I don't believe this, let them stay home. Give me some strong people in faith. Stand to your feet in faith. Amen. Let's pray in closing. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, I thank you for faith, Lord. God, that you're going to give us faith to believe for mountains to be moved. You're going to give us faith, Lord, to believe for this town, to believe for this nation, Lord, to believe for people through the internet, God, people in our families, the backsliders, those that are lost. God, give us the faith tonight, Lord, to believe you that nothing is impossible with God. Lord, we thank you tonight that we are children of Abraham. We have faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you tonight. God, I pray for people that are watching, whoever they are, wherever they are, if you're dealing with people right now that are lost, save them, convict them, help them to open their heart right where they are and to just surrender their life to you. God, go to them. Lord, move. Lord, change people, God. Show people, Lord, there's no hope without you. You're the only hope for this world, for this dying world that we live in. Jesus Christ is the light of this world. God, help people to come to you. Help us to be used to lead them to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. See you Sunday morning at 10:30.
We hope you were blessed by the live service from Family Worship Center in Athens, Tennessee. Our weekly services are Sunday at 10:30 a.m., Sunday at 5:30 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Watch us live online at www.fwc-tn.com. You can also check us out on Facebook or YouTube. Family Worship Center is located at 250 County Road 378 in Athens, Tennessee. Send all correspondence to Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 118, Athens, Tennessee 37303. For more information, you can call the church at 423-744-0774.